I'm glad that he keeps precise records. And there's nothing you'll ever do in his name that he'll forget. I tell you what, there's great truth in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 said, in verse number 17, he said, in their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We could take time out and shout till Jesus comes on the fact that he will never. I like that old song that said, what sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out, and I don't remember them anymore. Can I tell you, I may be preaching to somebody tonight that the sheriff's department has got more on you than heaven does. What about that? I'm glad my record has been expunged over there and his record has been imputed. Glory to God. But I tell you what, I'm glad that he won't just not remember anymore my sin. But in Hebrews chapter number 6, it said in verse number 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name. What about in the act of verse Hebrews 10, in the act of the will of God, he said, I'm not going to remember anything bad about you. But in the act of the will of God, I'm not going to forget anything good about you. Good night in the morning. I won't forget it. He said, I will not remember your sins. That's mercy. And I won't forget anything that you've done right. That's grace. I'm glad mercy and grace, mercy and grace. I'm glad when you find grace, you'll find mercy. And when you find mercy, you'll find grace. They're sisters in the Word of God. I'm glad there is a record book. I praise God. If you can't shout on the fact that your name is in that book, man, your wood's wet. Well, preacher, we're in 2019. That shouting's out of style. I never knew it was in style. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not looking to the world to find this what's in style about worship. Amen. If I did that, I'd be a contemporary compromiser. Go ahead, don't get nervous. Amen, friend. Let me just say this. Well, preacher, if we shout and carry on, they're going to think we're charismatic. Man, let me tell you something. Baptist folk were shouting long before there was ever a charismatic woman in California that spoke in tongues. Hello, don't get nervous. I've studied a little Baptist history, praise God. I'm not going to let somebody that don't do it right steal the joy of worshiping God in a biblically mandated way. Or I won't say clap your hands, quote the rest of that verse. Clap your hands and shout. Somebody said, God's not deaf. He ain't nervous either. Amen. I like old fashioned worship. I was raised on that. I was raised on them shouting women, man. I just tell you what, man. Them women used to get in the glory and shout, and they had them long dresses on, and it looked like to me they were just floating down the aisle as a little boy. And I was lost, and the preacher knew I was lost, and the Holy Ghost knew I was lost. And I thought to myself, if I ever do get saved, that's the kind of saved I want to be. If I ever get in, I want to get in like that. Amen, friend. You say, well, preacher, you can't reach young people like that. Well, come the last Saturday, Friday and Saturday in January, come to North Georgia. I'll have a youth meeting, and we'll have about 2,000 in there that night. And you say, what are you going to do? Well, we're not going to turn the smoke machine on, and we're not going to have a Christian rock band, but we're going to have a youth choir with about 300 in there, and we're going to have old-fashioned preachers get up and preach to where their lungs about fall out in the altar. And what you'll find is there's still some young people that like the old-time way. Amen. And I'll just say to all the ones that want to try to catch them with worldly methods, let me tell you, whatever you catch them with is what you'll have to keep them with. But if you'll catch them on preaching and old-fashioned worship and the holiness of God, that's what you can keep them on. Amen. You come along way too late in the game to tell me it doesn't work. I still believe it works. Amen. I thank God for it. There'll be some young men. I like our older brother. He couldn't run a lap, so he just walked one. I like it. I thought about just picking him up. I could run with both of us, praise God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. When I get your age, that's what I'm going to do. I'll take you. If I get to taking a lap, you better make sure you're in the Holy Ghost, because if you ain't, I might run over you by accident, praise God. Amen. When we build a new church, we're going to fix it where I can run around the church. Man, the outside aisles at our place aren't wide enough for me to run through there, and I don't look like I'm going to be able to lose enough weight to get around there, praise God. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me funny. Let me tell you something. I don't like being fat, but I don't like being hungry either, praise God. Amen. Can I get a witness? I guarantee you, you won't ever find fat mentioned negative in your King James Bible. It's going to be bad when we all get to heaven. Everybody's going to be round, praise God. Amen. Some of y'all going to be discouraged. The Lord going to look at you like you're famished, praise God. My good friend, Brother Dean McNeese, said, there's one thing about it. Y'all skinny people are in danger of being kidnapped. Men my size and Brother Jeff's size, they ain't kidnapping us. It's too much trouble to get us, praise God. They might shoot us, but they're not kidnapping us. Amen. Don't worry, laughing's all right in church. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's what's wrong. Half of us can't even enjoy being saved. Amen. It's refreshing to me, man. I like it. I like it when I used to, this is the last couple of years, I've led the choir at the church for about 16 years, but last couple of years, I've been having God sent me a young man to help me. But I used to lead the choir, and I could tell you, I didn't even have to turn around and tell you which one was shouting. But I liked it when I had to turn around. That meant one had joined in that I hadn't heard yet. Amen. I mean, I like it. I like old-fashioned worship. And amen. I bless the Lord. It's good to see you. Preachers, thank you for letting me come. I want to say to the moderators, I appreciate their efforts to preserve our heritage. 50 years preaching, praying, and praising the Lord. And I tell you what, meetings like this around the country are going by the way. And I'm glad that there's still some that are trying to preserve the heritage that we have. You say, preacher, man, they're not packed out like it can happen again. You let God breathe a little bit of old-time revival power in here. God can bring it out again. Don't ever doubt. Listen, I know it's 2019, but God ain't lost a little bit of his power. He's not lost not one ounce of his power. He's still the same God that he's always been, and he wants to show it to us in this hour and in this day. So cheer up, my brother. Live in the sunshine. We'll understand it. All by and by, praise God. 1 Samuel chapter number 14. My brother at the sound, man, I am hoarse as hoarse can be. I want to live on that little meter that you got back there. It's right where green meets red. If you'll let me live right there, I might be able to talk tomorrow night, amen. And I tell you, in these nights I get wet and go back to a motel room and turn the air conditioning. When you're as big as I am, you have to cut it on, amen. And you could hang meat in there with me. I remember I took one of my young preachers, was preaching for Brother Gammons in the team camp meeting several years ago. And I took one of my young preachers, he's about 21, and he was with me. And we got in there, and at that time I weighed about 320 pounds. And I told him then I used to weigh in the neighborhood of 300 pounds. I said I was in phase two of my neighborhood, praise God. And man, we got in there night after church, Brother Jeff, and I cut that air conditioner down to about 64 degrees to where I could sleep. And I mean, when you're our size, you hibernate. You don't sleep, you hibernate. And I woke up the next morning and I heard his teeth chattering. And I looked over and his eyes were barely out of the cover. And he said, preacher, can I take a shower first? I'm freezing to death. I took him back the next year. We got out of church, went and got ready to go to bed. He put sweatpants on and a sweatshirt on. He said, cut her down as far as you want to, preacher. I'm ready tonight, amen. Amen, that might be why nobody wants to travel with me, amen. First Samuel chapter number 14. Let's stand together. It's good to see you in the Lord's house. Appreciate the good choir singing. Aren't you glad? Listen, I think a lot of times we get mixed up on this singing. We get to heaven, it's all going to be congregational singing. Ain't going to be no specials. It ain't going to be any of this kind of singing. It's going to be all this kind of singing. I like it. I'm glad you can just get them old hymnals down. I like that old hymn. I love congregational singing. Man, when we get those kids together at camp in the summertime, we'll just let the pianos and the organs, and I mean, we got some of the best pickers that, I mean, good night. But we'll just let those musicians fall out of there, and those kids will get to singing, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, and no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. And there'll be no sorrow there, and no more burdens to bear, and no more sickness, no pain, and no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it with me, ladies. There'll be no rule there, no more birth. Sing it, ladies. No sickness. Sickness, no. No parting. But here's the kicker. And forever, I will be with the one. With the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. And what a day that will be. Hey, you remember when you didn't have so much pride you wouldn't take a lap? You remember when you didn't have so much pride you'd worship God? Hey, I tell you, he kept me out of hell. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I traded my guilt for his glory. I traded my sin for his holiness. It wasn't one thing that I did, but thank God Almighty, the thrice holy God of heaven came to where I was and saved me by the good grace of God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, if I had done got so high society that I couldn't worship God, I'd do something else, praise God. Amen, friend. Glory to God. Amen. I tell you, we got to singing it at camp. I had all them young'uns in the choir. I had about 300 adults in the back, and I'd get the adults to sing the verse, and then I'd get the kids to sing the chorus to them. You say, I don't know about that. Well, Psalm 145 said that one generation shall praise him to another generation. That got plumb holy. We got to sing in Amazing Grace, and I let them older ones sing through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. And then them kids got to singing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. And man, them old timers got to rejoicing, and the kids got to rejoicing. Praise God. I tell you what, some of us get happy about it. Some of our children might get happy about it. Man, I've taught my boys how to hunt and how to fish and how to shoot and how to play ball. I've taught them how to catch a football, catch a baseball, shoot a basketball. And I guarantee you, I'm going to teach them how to worship God. They ain't going to have to wonder what Daddy thinks about it. I guarantee you about to, y'all might well sit down for a minute. Let me just testify. It was several years ago, my boy, our oldest, was about 12 years old, his first year at teen camp. And man, they got to singing something, and he, you know what, that first year at teen camp, them boys going to keep their heads down. They don't want to make a fool of themselves, and they don't want to stick out. They just want to sort of move. But man, it got on. Y'all understand what I mean? It got on. That's strange talk in our day. I'm glad I understand what I mean when them preachers used to say it got on. I knew what it meant. And I've noticed Brother Jeff, he got started getting full, and he had done been over. And then he done got down to his knees, and I could see the tears dripping off his face. Man, and that place in there, that thing is huge. It's uphill. I mean, you got to run uphill. And that young preacher was sitting beside me, and I thought, man, and I don't know why I told him this, but I looked at him, and I said, he's about to take his first lap. I ain't never seen him run in church. I said, he's about to take his first lap, and that platform's higher than this one. And I said, if he runs, I'm running with him. About that time, Brother Jeff, he turned off that middle row in the middle and took off up that middle section. I come off that stage, didn't walk down the steps. I jumped, hit the ground running. And he'd say, amen, and I'd say, glory to God. He'd say, hallelujah, and I'd say, praise Jesus. And he ran. We took a lap. He took a second lap. I didn't take the second lap. But I tell you what the Lord let me do. For the next 2 hours, the Lord let me wait out in his glory. Like I hadn't been before and may not have been in there since. I didn't care who moderated. I had Brother Dwayne and Brother Dean up there. I wasn't worried about it. You ain't got to worry about Holy Ghost Church. Spirit of God can direct things. You say, well, what if it gets out of the bank? That's why there's a shepherd in there. Amen. Amen. A shepherd will keep it in order. Amen, friend. And God let me, when I got, man, I'm talking about when it was over, I was so tired. I went out there to change clothes and go down there to the concession area after service, and I couldn't even walk up in our camper. I just sat down. Mama said, Daddy, what's wrong? I said, Mama, maybe for the first time in my life, I praised him. The Bible said, Psalm 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. That might have been the only time in almost 46 years that I gave it everything I had, and I don't regret it. I'm just ashamed I ain't done it more, praise God. Amen. Amen. I thank God, friend. It still works in this hour. Down at the cross, where my Savior died, and down where for cleansing from sin I cried, and there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. And I am so wondrously saved from sin, and Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. And oh, precious fountain that saved from sin. Well, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saved me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. And glory to, we might sing that for about the first 1,000 years while we're there. Oh, there to my heart was the blood applied. And glory to His name. Will all come to this fountain so rich and sweet, and cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, and plunge in today and be made complete. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Glory to His name. Well, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come back and help me at the piano for just a minute. I'll preach in a minute when the Lord tells me to preach. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a wind-up doll, man. I'm not an entertainer. I've come to have church. I tell you what, if you go to church to worship God, you go to church to preachers, if we go to church to preach, we might go home disappointed. You go to church to worship, you don't have to go home disappointed. Amen, friend. Amen. I'm afraid too many times the Holy Ghost tried to break in a meeting, and if we're not careful, we'll rush right past His presence. I don't know about you, but I'm not talented enough to get it done. I got to have Him. Headman, friend. Amen. Headman. Give me a C. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, and knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. great mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I like this second verse. And by God's word at last my sin I learned, and then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. How many of you remember the morning that you did come? Oh, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. And now I've given to Jesus everything, and now I gladly own him as my king. And now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Sing it like you believe it now. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. This is what I preached about last night. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, and oh, the grace that brought it down to man, and oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I wonder, with some of you sitting there tonight, just play on, ladies. I wonder where you'd be tonight had Calvary not made an appearance in your life. I'd venture to say that some of you white-headed ones that are celebrating many, many years of marriage, had salvation not come to your house, it'd be a different story. Some of you, God reached down in a pit of sin. Glory to God. Isaiah said, out of the pit from which we were digged. Listen, he might have dug you out of a pit of religion. He might have dug you out of a pit of ruin. I don't care what pit he found you in, but you were lost. You were in a pit. Head man. Hey, some of you used to have liquor on your breath and cursing in your mouth and adultery and fornication in your heart. But what about the fact that the grace of God, I'm glad, listen to me, of something we could not do, we could not reconcile ourselves to a holy God. But I'm glad that he took on flesh and became like we were so we could become like he is. I'm glad when he came, he was as much God as if he wasn't man. And he was as much man if he wasn't God. And thank God it made him qualified to be my redeemer. Amen. And some of you men used to be out on the town carousing. Men, God let her stay long enough till you got born again. Till God saved you by the good, marvelous grace of God. Hallelujah. And some of you don't even realize, now you young'uns are saved, and when the Lord was saving you, he was saving your children. Amen. You say you got Bible for that? Well, just look at the life of Joseph. Amen. I mean, man, his daddy threw him, jealous brothers threw him over in that pit. And what did the Lord, listen, what did they do? What did they take back to the Father? They took his coat and it had what on it? His blood. Oh, Lord. Did y'all hear what I said? They took the favorite son's blood back to the Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Do you realize Joseph's the only one in the only type in Scripture that it never mentions a sin that he ever did? He's the best type into the Lord Jesus in Scripture. But what happened? His brothers got him out. And when God saved him out of the pit, God was saving Egypt. And when God saved him out of the palace, when he ran out of there and saved him from losing his testimony, God was saving Egypt. And when God saved him out of the prison house and brought him back to Pharaoh's house, what happened? God was saving Egypt. But more than saving Egypt, he interpreted that dream. And here came his brethren. The very ones that had betrayed him. The very ones that had put on the sham that he was dead. The very ones that had sold him into slavery. The very ones that had thrown him into the pit. Here they came. They were hungry. Daddy had sent them down there to Egypt for some corn. But dear God in heaven, when they came back, they didn't come back with the corn, but they came back with the son. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, man, they walked in there. Them boys walked in there to the old Joseph. I believe they probably shaved Joseph's head and made him look like, man, you go in there and look at Joseph's Egyptian name that they gave him. It slips my mind what it is right now. But you know what Joseph's Egyptian name meant? His Egyptian name meant Savior of the World. Good night. What about a pagan Pharaoh? And what did he say? He said, all power has been given into Joseph's hand. Sound like another father said, all power and all judgment has been given into the hand of the Son. Amen. Glory to God. What about it, Brother Jeff? I mean, here's brothers come in there, and there Joseph is in all his power and all his glory, and they didn't even recognize him. I wonder how many times God's walked into our life, walked into our mess, walked into our home, walked into our storm, and we didn't even recognize it was him. But he kicked everybody out. Kicked everybody out. And he revealed himself. And I'm not going to be off color, but there wasn't but one thing that Joseph could have shown them that would have proved who he was. Amen. That Amen. There wasn't but one thing that proved who he was. And dear God, they realized who he was. And man, what about that? They thought they'd sold him out. But when God was saving Joseph, he was saving his family. How many of us families, us older ones, if he hadn't have saved us, our kids would be on their way to hell most likely. But when God saved you, he put you, I mean, listen, I got folks at church. I got an old boy, he's 6'3", weighs about 350 pounds. You talking about a brawler? Before he got saved, he was a meth dealer and a brawler and a fighter. Hit his wife, hit his girlfriend at the time. I mean, I'm talking about he got born again. Changed his life. All he ever grew up with was cussing and fighting and carrying on. And before he got married, that's what was in their house. But his children, when they first come to church, his little girl was about 3 years old. His little boy was one, and their youngest hadn't even been born. And John always wondered if she, that oldest one, ever remembered what it used to be like. Some years after they'd got saved and God changed their family, I watched in a Friday night revival meeting that little girl go over about 12 years old, and she said, Daddy, I forgive you for the way you used to be. But that boy said, I hear Daddy talk about it, but I have no idea what he's talking about because I didn't live in that. I don't know what that's all about. And I wonder where you'd have been had Calvary not come to where you were, saved you by the good grace of God, took them cursings out of your mouth, took that adultery, fornication, and unfaithfulness out of your heart. Oh, but listen, sobered you up, cleaned you up, and put your feet on a solid rock. Oh, friend, where would we be? I'd be in hell. I'd be in hell tonight if it were not for the grace of God. Oh, but thank God those years ago when he reached down and saved my dad and saved my mother. I'm glad, thank God, he had me in mind. He knew there was going to be a Sunday morning in the fall of 1987, that a little cotton top boy was going to get under Holy Ghost conviction, and I got saved. That old song they used to sing, if you had known me before I knew Jesus, you'd understand my love. Are you listening? Oh my. What about it, men? How about it, ladies? You felt like you fell in love all over again when God saved him. Are you listening? I mean, because let me tell you something, men, we can't love that wife the way we're intended to and created to until we've experienced his love. But when we've experienced his love, then we can love our wife the way we ought to. Glory to God. Where would you be? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless his name, said he forgiveth all our iniquities. Oh my, I'm glad he forgave my sin. That's where I fell short. But then I'm glad he forgave my trespasses. That's where I went too far. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, salvation. I hear people, they criticize us. Everybody all right? If you think I'm not preaching just because my tonsils aren't hanging out and I'm not got an outline, let me tell you something. I'd rather have an inline than an outline any day. Amen. We get criticized because we rejoice about being saved. Huh. Somebody else find me a greater miracle than translating somebody from death unto life. Find me a greater miracle than resurrecting a dead man to live forevermore. Show me a greater miracle than taking a sinful creation and making it a saint of God. I don't know that it, I mean, I'm not a great Bible student, but I've been studying now for about 26 years. But Jeff, I don't think I've ever found a better miracle. Oh my. You can go to 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. He lists five things that are precious. First four things he mentions one time, but then he lists one thing three times that's precious, and it's the Lord Jesus. Amen. I like that old song that said, he is to me more precious than gold. His love doth ever unfold. Can I tell you? I fell head over heels in love with him. And I bless his good name. I mean, listen, we are the Ruths of the New Testament. You look at the book of Judges, y'all, is your arm hurting? If it ain't, let her play a little bit. Switch off. That's all right. Man, I like that music when I exhort a little bit. You say, that's foolish. Well, go to 2 Kings. You can look at 2 Kings 3 And Elisha said, bring me a minstrel. And the Bible said, when the minstrel began to play, the Spirit of the Lord came on him. There's a method to my madness, praise God. I normally almost always have scripture for the way I do it, praise God. Hard to argue with that, ain't it? I play some poor little piano players to death. They're gonna get so many crowns in heaven. Y'all gonna get so many crowns in heaven for being in meeting with me. Judges was a book of gloom. It was a book of gloom. Some of the darkest times of the nation of Israel. You go on the other side of the book of Ruth and 1 and 2 Samuel, especially when you get to 2 Samuel, that is a book of glory. Judges, there's no king. 1 Samuel, you got man's king. But if they'd have waited around, God had a king. And when God got a king, the first thing David did was go get the ark and bring it back to Jerusalem and brought the glory of God home. What about that? But right between Israel's gloom and Israel's glory, let me say that again. Right smack dab between Israel's gloom and Israel's glory, there's a little four-chapter story about a little Gentile bride. Good night in the morning. What about that? I mean, listen, the church is living right between Israel's gloom and Israel's glory. You say, man, it's been rough on them. They said, let his blood be on us and our children. And that's exactly what's happened for the last 2,000 years. They've been persecuted by everybody around them all over the world. But honey, just hold on. It's not going to be long. There's going to come. The Son of God's coming. He's going to usher the church out of here. He's going to purge Israel. And they're going to be restored to the glory God intended. See, we're living right at the end of chapter number 1 in Ruth 1, where Naomi, picture of Israel, Ruth, a picture of the church. Here comes Naomi back into the land. And they're coming back to the land. But hold on, Brother Young. In chapter 4, there's a wedding. Oh, they're coming back into the land, Brother Jeff. Good night in the morning. I'm glad I didn't have to wait to Revelation to figure out what was happening in the end time. Here she's come back, Israel's coming back to the land, but everything that was Israel's is not hers yet. But there's coming a wedding. Glory to God. I said there's coming a wedding between a Gentile bride and a heavenly Boaz. And when that heavenly Boaz marries that Gentile bride, everything that was Naomi's, it's going to be Naomi's again. But right there in the middle of God's dealings with Israel, there's the little Gentile bride down in Moab. God's washpot, who was born under a curse. And the law said, there's no way to get in. But Ruth walked out of Moab and said, whithersoever thou goest, I'll go. And whithersoever thou lodgest, I'll lodge. And thy God will be my God. And thy people will be my people. And where you're going to be buried, I'm going to be. I think Ruth looked at Naomi and said, look here. All I've ever seen your Lord in your life is God whipping you because you left Bethlehem out of the will of God. He said, but let me tell you something. Your God whipping you is better than my God loving me. So I just think I'll go with God. And listen, Ruth walked out of there. And she walked into Boaz's field, a mighty man of wealth who was related, who was rich, and who was ready to redeem. And thank God, the one that was in a far country in chapter number 1. Thank God she's in the family in chapter number 4. Brother Jeff, she's having to ask permission to get in the field in chapter 2. But in chapter 4, she owns it. Thank you. She goes from the far country in chapter 1 to the field in chapter 2, to his feet in chapter 3, to the family in chapter 4. I preached out of chapter 4 on, you may now kiss the bride. Woo! You say, what happened to you? Well, right between Israel's gloom and Israel's glory, there was a little boy born in the curse, and the law said he can't get in. But I had a kinsman redeemer. When there was no way, he made a way. Good night in the morning. He said to her, whatsoever thou requirest, he said, I'll do it. She told him, she said, Boaz told her, he said, you just lay down until the morning. And when the morning comes, I'll take care of everything. Can I just say to you children of God, y'all that have lived all these years and just seems like it's getting darker, listen to me. Just hold on. The sun's coming up in the morning. The sun's coming up in the morning. The sun's coming up in the morning. Oh, blessed God. Yes. Boy, he gave her 6 measures of barley in chapter 3. He said, look at here, you go home and I'll be on to get you. Sent her home with 6 measures of barley. You know, when she got the 7th on her wedding day. But he sent her home with a down payment. I wonder how many times we've stumbled out of the house of God, loaded down with burdens. I wonder how long it's been since you stumbled out of here, loaded down with a down payment of the glory of God, that he said, just hold on, I'll be by soon to take you home. I tell wife, I tell her when I leave every Monday, I said, Mama, I'll see you in the morning. I'll see you Friday morning. Or I'll see you in the morning. One way or the other. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have never made it out had there not been a heavenly Boaz. You say, why do you get so tore up and happy? Why do you want to shout? Because I could have got left in Moab. And before you get too tore up, everybody wants to preach on Orpha. Listen to me. Orpha could have went home too. You say, how do you know that? Well, according to Boaz's own testimony in chapter 4, he said, I redeemed everything that pertained to Naomi, to Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion. So Orpha didn't have to go to hell. She chose to go to hell. Because he paid her way too. Amen. Sound like whosoever surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth me. I'm not in Moab tonight. I made it to Bethlehem. You ever heard Brian McBride preach on that shoe? That shoe. Boaz told that kinsman, there was a nearer kinsman. We miss that truth a lot. That nearer kinsman was a picture of the law of God. That law was closer. But the law could not redeem Ruth because it would mar his inheritance. So the law, just like the law, is the law of sin, God forbid. I'd not known sin had it not been for the law. The law dropped us off at the doorstep of grace. Amen. But he said, I can't do it. Boaz said, take your shoe off. You said, what does that shoe mean? Well, if you're not careful, you'll think back to Exodus, put off thy shoes, stand on holy ground. That's not what that means. And that's how you got to go back and look at Joshua at the gate of Jericho. That's what that heavenly visitor told him, put off thy shoe, not put off thy shoes. Understand this, The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. So Boaz said, take your shoe off. And what that shoe meant, he had to take that shoe and give it to Boaz in front of everybody at the gate. And what that said was, I can't, but you can. You know what? Every once in a while, you ought to go back in there in your closet and find the old shoe that you got the day you got saved. That sin said, I can't. And the law said, I can't. But Jesus said, I can. And he changed your life forever. People say, y'all, you just can't get over being saved. I'm not trying to get over it. Matter of fact, I'm trying to remember it. Was that your granddaddy you sat by last night? I just saw you come back in. He just lit up that you came in and now you've been replaced. I hate it, but that's just the truth. When I first had my boys, I'd go home and my daddy'd say, where are the boys? I said, they're not with me. He said, why are you here? I said, man, I was here first. And all them guns in his safe, they skipped me and went right to them. I wonder, all them years ago, when God was saving him, if he had you in mind and had her in mind. Oh, he may go to heaven before she gets old enough to remember who he is. But when God was saving him, he was saving her. Good night. You say you're going to preach? I done preached three messages. Listen. I come to church looking to get happy. I want to enter in and worship. Somebody says, well, don't work it up. I don't have to work it up. The Holy Ghost works himself up. I just want to do my best not to quench him. We're going to stand. Let's sing a little bit more of that right there. Y'all have done excellent. I appreciate you helping me. Y'all's pretty playing covers up my gruff voice. Amen. I like that where it said Psalm 30, Psalm 33, Psalm 34, play skillfully with a loud noise. I like that. Man, that's what that means in the Hebrew. That's a bluegrass break. That means it's your break. Amen. I wonder how many of us ought to slip at an altar and say, Lord, by God's word, at last my sin I learned. And I remember when I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Would you have ever thought when he saved you that day that he'd be looking way down here? I'm glad it's household salvation. Believe, thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Come on back and sing it. Well, he's a praying. Let's just sing it. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Why don't you slip around an altar? Years I spent in vanity and pride, oh, caring not my Lord was crucified, and knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. 1956, 1957, it was mid-50s. Brother Edgar Thomas was my pastor when I grew up. But in the mid-1950s, he went up to a little country church that's a mile from where I live. My old pawpaw got under conviction in a chicken house one morning after Brother Edgar had been there a while and preaching. And my papa got so under conviction in the chicken house, he got down in the chicken litter amongst the chickens and got born again. What long after that, my little mother got born again. Then it wasn't too long after that, some years after that, my mom and dad got married and they moved to Gainesville, and my mom and dad joined Brother Edgar's church that he'd started in Georgia. And went long that my sister got saved. And right before he retired at 29 years from the church, I got saved. What about that? When my pawpaw was down in the chicken litter among the chickens, God saved my pawpaw. And every day when I drive out of my driveway, that old chicken house is not there anymore, but I know where it used to sit. And I thought right over there is where God looked down and saved my pawpaw. But when he was saving him, he was looking to save me. Thank God. What about it when he saved him? He was looking all down through the time to save you. Oh, bless. See, you don't have to grow up in all that cussing and carrying on and fight. All you've known is a saved mama and a saved daddy. And you ain't missed out on one blessed fire thing. Amen. I'd rather grow up with a daddy that loved my mother and a mother that loved my daddy to have the grandest testimony that sin and marked my life. I'd rather live in peace, praise God. Amen. What about that? He thought so much of you. He just reached down here. Hey, look at here. I know being a preacher's youngin' ain't easy, but it's probably better than being a drunk's youngin'.
Yes, sir.
And being in a preacher's family, not easy, but it's better than having a harlot for a mother.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. I know you live in a fishbowl, but there's grace for that too, praise God. It's a whole lot better than the alternative. Boy, he's been good, hasn't he? Amen. Well, we're not careful. We'll focus on the one thing that he hasn't done that we've asked him. And we'll forget the thousands of things that he has done. And we'll let our hands be tied and our mouths silent because we doubt it. But let me just remind you, the things that you have seen him do helps you believe God for what you've not seen him do. We're about to, in about 8 days, I'm going to sign a note for $900,000. We're going to build about a $1.1 million addition to the church. And I was a lender, I was a commercial lender, and loaning that much money didn't bother me. But being on the other side and borrowing it, it's a different story. You say, preacher, what's God gonna do for us? I don't know what he's gonna do for us. But about 11 years ago, 12 years ago, we needed to build another building. We just remodeled our church, paid it off. We didn't have anything set back. And man, that was going to be about an $800,000 building. On a Sunday night, a man walked in my office and said, preacher, we've sold a business. And said, we've been looking for a way to invest money. And said, we've looked at lands and stocks and bonds. But he said, you know, I got saved on a bus route when I was a 12-year-old boy. And he said, preacher, we need a place to put these bus kids that we're bringing in. He handed me a check for $40,000. I said, I tell you what we'll do. I'll take that and we'll have a building fund offering in 2 weeks. 2 weeks we took up a building fund offering, took up $8,000 cash above our tithes and offerings. In 2 weeks we had $50,000. On the next Wednesday morning, I got a call from one of my shut-in families that said, hey preacher, we didn't get to be there Sunday, but would you come by the church on your way to church tonight? We just want to put a little something in the offering. And I knocked on that little door, and that little man came on his walker. His little dog was so slow, it almost needed a walker to come too. It was so pitiful. Oxygen on him. He handed me a folded up check, said, would you just put this in the offering for me tonight? I said, I'll be happy to. My little Riley's 19 years old. He was about six then. I got in that pickup truck. Y'all pray for me. But I turned the light on that truck and folded that check open. It said, paid to the order of Wahoo Baptist Church for $250,000. Woo! Let me say it this way. a quarter of a million. 3 weeks before, we didn't have a building fund. But 3 weeks later, we had $300,000. Less than 90 days, we were cutting trees and moving dirt. And by the time it was over with, it sent another $100,000 in there. You say, where's this 900 coming from? I don't really know, but I've got a pretty good indication it's going to come from the same place that other 400 came from that I didn't know where it was coming from. So I'm just going to believe God. Boy, we got back from, y'all okay? We got back from vacation and I was expecting that building to be about a $700,000 project. A contractor, one of my men in church, called me back and said, preacher's $1.1 million. I thought, man, y'all pray for me. My faith got a little weak. I said, what are we going to do? Man, I mean, I'm talking about 50% more than what we were thinking. And I walked out of that office and y'all pray for me. I was doubting the Lord. By lunchtime, I've not taken up an offering. We've not had a church meeting. I've not put it out that we're taking up an offering. Lunchtime the next day, I had in my hand two checks that equaled $30,000 from people that didn't even go to our church. They didn't even know we were doing it. I believe the Lord said, I can take care of this. So what are you saying? Don't get caught up on that one thing in your life that he hadn't done. I wish I had the $1.1 million in my hand. But I tell you what I do have. I've got about $150,000 that I didn't have 6 weeks ago. So I'm just going to believe God. I have seen the 400. I hadn't seen the 900, but I'm looking for it any day. Don't get so bound that you forget to see everything that he has done. Rejoice about what, I believe if we'll thank him for what he has done, he'll probably be looking and a lot more apt to do what he hasn't done if he knows how much we appreciate what he has done. Amen. If he can pull us out of hell, set our feet on a rock and establish our going, I believe he can do whatever we need. When we begin to read our Bible like an index to everything that he has done and has the ability, I'm glad that our generation, he ain't dead. He's not sick. He's not taking Prozac or Tums, praise God. He ain't taking Xanax, amen. The flags of heaven are not half-mast. There's not a bulldozer up there bulldozing the golden streets to cash it in. I'm glad everything he's done for the generations ahead of us, he's able to do for Amen. Us. Amen. I've done some shotgun preaching tonight, but I've enjoyed myself. And I don't apologize for it. Oh, I was ready to preach, and I'll preach out of 1 Samuel 14 tomorrow night. Come back, especially if your church is coming. If you're not, church ain't coming, you need to go back. If you ought to sweet talk your preacher, tell him to bring the service over here. Tell him you'll get a night off with pay, praise God. I was going to preach on 1 Samuel 14. The Lord will help me. I will tomorrow night. On don't miss the honey. Don't miss the honey. I tell you what you'll find out about the honey. Sometimes the sweetest honey comes out of the most dangerous places. Are you listening? Enjoy it when them breezes blow like they have tonight. Get a little taste. Because there's no telling what you might do when you get a little taste of just a little bit of honey. God bless you in Jesus' name.